G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
It may be a surprise, it may even be shocking to you that it appears that there are churches in various parts of the world and here in Australia who are considering excluding people from church if they're not fully vaccinated. It sounds unbelievable, but churches may be caught up in a general rule being considered by governments for vaccine passports in the name of protecting people and keeping them safe. Businesses may choose to exclude unvaccinated people, but does that mean churches should follow suit? Well, in Sydney, a court is live streaming four cases challenging the legality of mandated COVID vaccinations for New South Wales workers. They're raising constitutional arguments. Around the world, places like Scotland, there's a plan for non-essential settings to come under government-regulated attendance. In the US, President Joe Biden is reportedly ordering businesses with more than 100 employees to be vaccinated. Nations like Britain and Canada have specially exempted places of worship from their vaccination passport system. And yes, some churches in Australia are reportedly already considering this for church attenders. So how can Christians make sense of what may be coming to your town, to your city, to your local church? Well, our special guest through this coming hour, David Robertson, is director of the Ask Project with Sydney Anglicans. He originates from Scotland. He writes for newspapers, magazines, and is the author of a number of books, including The Dawkins Letters and Engaging with Atheists. And always a pleasure. Welcome back to 2020 to you, David Robertson.
Yeah, it's good to be back with you in 2021. It's great.
Yes. Hey, David, vaccine passports for the church. This is what is developing. You've been observing some things back to your homeland of Scotland and no doubt observing things happening around the world. What are your general impressions as to what's developing?
Well, my own particular background is I belong to a church called the Free Church of Scotland, and it was known, it became the Church of Scotland Free, and it was basically about a third of the church actually left the state church because the state was telling us who we could have appointed as ministers. Now, I can only imagine our forefathers turning in their graves at the idea of the state telling us who can attend church. And that's the problem. The problem is not whether people should be vaccinated or not. Personally, I've been vaccinated. I think it's a really good idea. I would encourage people to get vaccinated. But there is such a thing as freedom of conscience, and there are people who don't think that it's right. And the idea that a church would exclude anyone from attending is, to me, quite extraordinary. It's like Jesus saying, you know, he didn't say, come to me, all ye that are vaccinated, you know. Now, it's a little bit more complex than that, but that's the fundamental principle. The complexity is, here in New South Wales, when we open up to public places at 70% vaccinated or 80% vaccinated, should the churches be excluded from that? And I would say if they're not to be, then it has to be extremely short term. And I would question, you know, it has to be under protest that the churches would do it. And I would also encourage, I mean, I was glad to see that Archbishop Fisher of the Roman Catholics and Archbishop Kanishka, they've come out against it. They've come out against the notion of vaccine passports for churches. So in principle, I'd be against it. It's possible that it may have to be done for a month or two, but it's a very, very dangerous road to go down to have the government telling you who can and who cannot attend church. And as a corollary of that, there are churches that of themselves are saying, well, we're only going to ask vaccinated people to attend. And I'm appalled at that. I personally wouldn't attend a church like that because it's excluding sinners. If you regard being vaccinated as, you know, not being vaccinated as a sin, I don't really want to have anything to do with that. It's really quite appalling. But excluding sinners anyway is even worse. So there's lots of reasons I'd be opposed to the idea, but it's a little bit more nuanced than I've been suggesting.
Right now, there appears to be a divide. There are those who are saying, yes, we want to speak up. Others who are saying, we need to keep quiet. We need to keep the peace. We shouldn't speak up. We should just go along with what the government is saying. What are your thoughts here for the fact that there is a division that will be happening between church leaders and certainly people who are already in the pews?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to be very careful in the church how we speak about things. You know, I have my own opinions, which are, of course, absolute and right. And anyone who doesn't agree with me is a complete idiot.
Right.
You know. No,
okay.
For your American listeners, that's what we call irony.
Right.
You know, but I mean, we have to be able to speak graciously with one another. Having said that, I think church leaders who say, well, now's not the time to speak up, now's not the... I'm going to say, when is it? Because when the legislation's passed, it's too late. You know, so if people genuinely think it's okay to exclude people from a church service on the basis of a health vaccination or a health issue, then fine, you go with your conscience. But for me, as a pastor, to exclude anyone from church, I mean, I told the story in an article I wrote of a number of years ago when the AIDS crisis was beginning. A couple of people came to the door of the church, and as they were coming in, they didn't even, I'm not even sure they told me their names, but the first thing they said was, we've got AIDS. I said, uh-huh. Can we come in? I said, of course you can. Now, in those days, we didn't know that much about how AIDS was transmitted and so on. I mean, it was, as far as I understood, bodily fluids. But, you know, you could have said, oh, there's a risk to the congregation here, however slight. No, you can't come in. I said, of course you can come in. You're welcome. And, you know, I would say that the minimal risk that somebody might come in who might possibly have COVID, if we are vaccinated anyway, isn't that supposed to protect us from COVID? So why are we so afraid? Why does this minimal risk trump everything else? I think we should disagree graciously and so on. But we must speak out on the basic principle of the government does not get to tell the church who can and who shouldn't attend.
I wonder whether it's a good thing to enlarge a little here and your thoughts on the fact that the church is different to the idea of a business. Businesses yeah. making their business decisions based on who will be their customers and who might refuse to be customers or who they might refuse to allow into their space. But churches are not the same as a traditional business. Any thoughts here, Dave?
Sure. So it's very interesting. I think from a government point of view, in general, they'll be happier to get businesses open because it's about money and we're not about money. I think that, and you know, that's why I'm so thankful for some of the church leaders here in Sydney who've stood up for the churches in that respect and who have spoken out. However, I think we are different from businesses in this. I think a business can decide, do you know, let's say it's a restaurant. Let's take an example, a restaurant. A restaurant might say, do you know, we're going to lose customers if, everyone's not vaccinated, if we can't guarantee that. So we're going to make this our policy. Well, that's their business, if you like, literally their business. I think they have the right to do that. However, from a church perspective, I think from a Christian point of view, we have to be open to everybody. And I don't think we can exclude people on the basis of, I don't think we can exclude them on the basis of their sin. I'm talking about people coming to hear the gospel. Sinners need to hear it. And I don't think we can exclude it on the basis of whether they've been vaccinated or not. The notion of turning someone away because they haven't been vaccinated is a shocking one to me.
I know that some businesses are justifying their idea of turning away the unvaccinated because of what they perceive as a threat to their employees. And so they're making it an occupational health and safety issue. And they're saying that they're protecting their employees by keeping people who are unvaccinated out. It does seem, though, you ask this question, who's protecting who? Is it the unvaccinated protected from the vaccinated or the unvaccinated protected from the vaccinated? It does seem to be a difficult and a crazy idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you stop and think about this logically. So recently I was due to meet with someone to go for a walk. And they asked if I'd been vaccinated, and I said, no, at that point I was just going for my first one. And they said, oh, well, I've been double vaccinated, so we maybe better not meet together. And I said to them, why? Tell me the reason. Apart from the fact that walking around in the open air, transmission, I'm not sure that there have been any recorded cases of transmission in the open air in that way, but I said, okay, but explain why. And then they thought about it and they realized what I was saying. Because what I was saying was this: if you've been vaccinated, what have you been vaccinated for? To stop you getting COVID, or at least it doesn't really stop you getting COVID or even spreading it on, but what it does do is stop you getting seriously ill. So if you've been vaccinated, you're fine. So it's bizarre to me that there might be people in a church who say, I've been vaccinated, and now I'm scared of people who haven't been vaccinated in case they give me the thing that I've been vaccinated against. You know, that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's not a very logical position. And I think it's part of the climate of fear that was induced largely by governments and also by media to try and get us to do what was the right thing to do. You know, isolate, wash our hands and so on. And I think that that climate of fear has really taken hold. And of all groups, churches should be opposed to the climate of fear. Now, that doesn't mean to say we don't take suitable precautions. It doesn't mean to say we don't care. But it does mean that if I'm refusing to visit a dying person because I'm scared I could get COVID off them, I don't think I should be in the ministry.
This is 2020 with Neil Johnson, helping you make sense of life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
1-800-316-316 to be part of our conversation today. Our special guest is David Robertson, director of the Ask Project with Sydney Anglicans. We'll talk about what the Ask Project is, but our conversation today is about churches and potentially coming under a general rule that might mean unvaccinated people may not be able to attend. We're going to take as many calls as we can and develop our conversation at the same time. But let's take a call, David, from Wendy in Lithgow in New South Wales. Hello, Wendy. Welcome along.
Hi, Neil. Hi, David.
Nice. Hi, Wendy.
What are your thoughts, Wendy?
Well, it's actually not about to happen. It's already happened that the churches have been told that they can't have any unvaccinated people in there. And that involves our church, and it is really so bad. And I just want to say to David, I'm really glad you mentioned the fact that if people are vaccinated, what have they to fear, you know? Because no one seems to see this. It's just really crazy. But we are on every avenue of legal, especially, you know, to counteract this, and it is just so terrible because our church is small and it's part of the ACC, and there's not even any in Lithgow, there's not even any COVID, and there hasn't been. I think there was 1 week ago, but and so we're in lockdown, and the mental health, you know, we're in the country. I'm actually in the country, so I'm out of town. So,
Wendy, do you mind if I just ask you, you know, say you're part of an ACC, Australian Christian Churches, one of the biggest denominations in the country. Is there, do you know if there was some sort of official word that came that said this is what the new rule is for your church?
For our church, it did. You know, it comes over the
So it came in an update, a leadership type update, and there was that indication.
We have to have a plan, you know, and everything. In our church especially, we've always done everything according to the plan, you know, which the meter rule, no singing, masks, everything, you know. And, of course, we can't have it sing for so long. And it's really detrimental to the health, as you know and as you've stated. It's already here. And I contacted my pastor straight away and I said, look, we've got to do something. And they're already doing something because the ACC is powerful.
Yep.
You know, they're huge.
That's right. And well, Wendy, let's get a thought or two from David here. David, your thoughts? Wendy's saying this is not speculation. This is already here.
Yeah, okay. Just a couple of things. I was actually speaking with one of the leaders of the ACC, the whole denomination, and it certainly was not their position at that point that they wanted vaccine passports. It's also not the legal position in terms of the New South Wales government. We're not allowed to meet at the moment anyway. So that is not the issue. However, the New South Wales government have indicated that when this 70% is reached, it will go to that. So, Wendy, let me read you something from, this is from the Catholic Archbishop, and I think it sums up this situation up really, really well. I was aware that he and the Anglican Archbishop had written this, and it was a letter they wrote to their clergy, which I didn't know if it was public, but this is now public. And he says this, in discussion with the New South Wales government and New South Wales Health, I joined other religious leaders in insisting that worship is an essential service, not mere recreation for many people. We explained that all our faiths are inclined to allow all comers to worship, that many pastors and faithful will be uneasy with restricting worship to the fully vaccinated, and that doing so could prove very divisive. With Anglican Archbishop Kanishka Raphael, I would insist that Jesus is Lord of all and his gospel is a gospel for all. A no-entry sign at the door of the church is wholly inconsistent with the gospel preached inside. Race, gender, ethnicity, age, education, wealth, or health status, including vaccination, must not be points of division within the Christian community or barriers to communion with Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not part of the ACC or the Catholic Church, but I would just simply say amen to that. And I wish that all Christian leaders would be as clear and as plain as that.
Wendy in Lithgow, thank you so much. Valuable contribution to our conversation today. Our talkback line open, 1-800-316-316. Let's take another call. Andy is in Pakenham in Victoria. Hi, Andy. Welcome.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very well.
All right, Andy.
What are your thoughts?
Just a couple of quick thoughts while I'm driving home. First of all, David, you mentioned the culture of fear, and it's so true. And with the, obviously, states trying to control the churches, my history isn't the best, but didn't the Nazis try and control the German state churches in the 30s before the Second World War as well? To push their ideas?
Andy, good thoughts there. David, you've got some reflection on these things that have gone in times past.
Yeah, I mean, it's always, people always, they call it Godwin's law, that when you bring up the Nazis, you've kind of lost any kind of argument. But the reason the Nazis are brought up is because they're a great example of absolute state control. Now, we live in a Western liberal democracy where there are certain freedoms that we've taken for granted. One of those freedoms is the freedom to worship, freedom of speech being another, freedom to assemble, and so on. My personal view is that I think that these freedoms are under great threat. Now, I believe that government is for the good. I believe that it is our responsibility as Christians to obey the government. But the government needs to recognize that it also is the servant of God. And it also needs to recognize that it is not absolute. And I think there are areas where the government doesn't have a right to come in. It doesn't have a right, for example, to tell us what to do with our children. It doesn't have the right, you know, there are certain moral issues and so on. But one of those is in terms of worship. And I think that if the line is crossed that the government tells us who can and who cannot come to church, I have a feeling that it will be a line that will be crossed and it will be hard to go back over that line again. So I think that the point, the analogy is actually pretty correct. And I think Andy's right.
Andy, thank you so much for your call. Let's take another call. Anne is in Labrador in Queensland. Hi, Anne. Welcome.
Hi. I do believe that, as Romans says, that we are to obey authority and people in authority, but when it comes against Christ and what we stand for as a Christian and everything else, then I think we have to go against the people that are in authority and just stand with Christ, and I know that he will solve that problem out.
Good thoughts, Anne. And of course, we're at a point here where we would recognise that it's interesting because when a government recognises God, then there is that line of authority. If the government doesn't recognise God, then they have every right in their own mind to do whatever they want. So control is one of those issues that's at stake here. David, your thoughts for Anne?
Yeah, I want to say amen to what Anne is saying. I think that we need to make a very careful distinction here. There are laws we do not like, but we still obey. You know, we don't say, oh, I don't like that law, I don't like the speed limit, or I don't like this, so I'm not going to obey it. But there are laws which specifically go against the law of God. And when that clash comes up, so for example, just to give an extreme example, if the government said, you are allowed two children in your family, but if you become pregnant with a third, there you have to abort them. No, we refuse to obey. Now, I think those line issues where we refuse to obey. Let me put in the COVID situation. I personally don't like wearing masks. I think they're largely useless, except in certain situations and of certain types. But I obey the law. I go out, I wear my mask because it's the law. I don't like it. However, if the government were to say to me as a pastor, if I was a pastor in a church and the government were to say to me, you must refuse entry to people who are not vaccinated, I couldn't do that. If someone came, literally walked in the door of my church and I said, no, I'm sorry, you have to leave. And, you know, they were looking for Christ. I couldn't do that. I just couldn't do it. There are some laws that you have to disobey. Now, you have to be very careful with that and make that distinction between laws you don't like and laws which clearly go against. And sometimes you have to make a stance. If the government, for example, were to say to me, if I was to live in apartheid South Africa and they said, you are not allowed any black people in your church, I'm not going to obey that law. I'm just not. And I think this is the same kind of thing.
We need to differentiate between what things we will obey and what things are really laws under God. Yeah. Anne, thank you so much for your call. We're about to go to news in a few moments, and we'll take more calls after Vision National News. Before we take any more calls, David wanted to touch on the issue of lockdowns, and lockdowns that have happened, very severe ones in New South Wales and in Victoria. I noted one note out of Victoria, preparing to move from lockdowns to lockouts of the unvaccinated. Perhaps that's a way of understanding how the changes are being implemented. What are your thoughts on lockdowns?
Okay, let me preface that just simply by saying that these are my opinions. I'm not giving these as some kind of, you know, message from on high. I find myself on different sides on different issues. So I think, I basically think vaccines are a really good thing to have. I'm more questionable about masks. Lockdowns, I think, are a disaster. I think lockdowns, there was a report I was reading that shows that lockdowns have just never work. The only reason for them is to help health service not being overwhelmed, which is a huge reason, but they come at enormous cost. So it's reckoned that lockdowns will cost up to five times more deaths than, you know, COVID. I don't think lockdowns have worked anywhere in the world except in the most authoritarian regimes. And I think we're seeing that in Australia just now, because Victoria, for example, went for a much stricter lockdown straight away. And we were told this was how to deal with it, and yet they haven't been able to. But it's the cost of lockdowns. It's the 50 young people every day in New South Wales who are going to hospital with depression and stress. That's double the normal number. It's the people who lose their jobs. It's the children who don't get educated. It's the sick who aren't able to go to hospital or get treatment. In the United Kingdom, they reckon that something like an extra 20,000 women will die of breast cancer because they've not been able to get assessed or get treatment. So I regard lockdown as not always wrong, but if you were to have one, it should be a short measure. It should be limited. And we need to recognize that there are enormous costs involved. And I see these costs all the time. And I have to say, personally, not massively, but for example, my father died 2 months ago, and I was not able to get back to take his funeral. You know, my mother's on her own, and there's a cost involved in all of this. And yet, at the same time, people say we're all in this together. No, we're not. NRL players can go into Queensland, but you can't go and visit your dying mother or whatever. So there's a whole range of things that I find really, really wrong about it, and especially these prolonged lockdowns. Lockdowns only suppress. They do not eradicate, and they, I think, somebody once described it like this. I thought it was a very good idea. It's like burning down your house to get rid of a wasp nest. You know, now, COVID is a very serious thing, but we cannot destroy everything in the vain hope that we will get zero COVID. So not everyone will agree with that, but that's my own personal view.
And thanks so much for just sharing that very personal sense of grief in not being able to attend your father's funeral. Yeah. We're taking calls. 1-800-316-316. Penny is on the line from Tasmania. Hello, Penny. Welcome.
Hello, Neil. How are you?
I'm well, Penny.
Hello, David.
Hi, Penny.
Hey, I love your accent.
I love your accent, too. I don't have an accent. You all have an accent.
That's good.
Penny, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are just a query, and it's a hypothetical to start with. I wonder about excluding people simply because if you've got a very small congregation, which is very common here in Taz now, if you've got one person vaccinated and say the rest aren't, who are you going to preach to?
Yeah.
Well, you can preach to one.
Penny, you raise a really good point there. Small churches will be intensely affected by this idea if they go along with this this lockout idea, because sometimes small congregations, there's not too many people there, and you can divide people very quickly. It could be the end of some churches. A thought or two for Penny here, David.
Yeah. Thanks, Penny. Do you know, I think there's what pastors need to do is to be wise. We don't, and churches need to be wise. We don't need to wait for government decree. So there are things that I would do. I'd say, okay, we're meeting together, and there are people. So you might be in an area where there are no examples of COVID, you know, a small, and you say, oh, that's fine, we're okay. You may be in an area where there are quite a lot of examples of COVID. So what you could do is you could say to people, I mean, I'd love to see antigen testing, which is the immediate testing available. I'd love to see, if somebody has had COVID, then they are far more immune than if they get the vaccine. So they would be fine. Ironically, if someone's had COVID, they're much more likely to be fine. And also if someone's just had a COVID test, I would say that that was fine. But anyone who had symptoms, I would say, go get tested and stay at home, please. But otherwise, I'm not going to just say only those who've been vaccinated can come. I mean, I do think with small churches in particular that is an issue. But often there's just, with a lot of these approaches, there's a common sense, practical, compassionate approach that can be taken.
Penny, thank you so much for your call. 1-800-316-316. Let's take a call from a caller in Queensland. Hello, welcome along.
Hello.
What are your thoughts?
I'd like you to follow this up. I want to back up what the lady said about it's already here. It's not future. And 2 days ago, in the media, there was an incident in Melbourne where the police surrounded a synagogue and they blocked the front and back entrances, and the people were fined just under $5,500 each for being there. Now, it's on YouTube, on the Seven News, but I've read it in The Australian or Sky. So I thought maybe you'd like to follow that one up.
We'll get a thought or two here from David. That's a very controversial issue, where the Jewish community were being fined en masse for their meeting, and yet we might balance that with the idea that perhaps they were breaking lockdown restrictions. David, your thoughts for our caller?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I do think it's important with these things to get the story. First of all, the Jewish leaders were not happy with this particular group meeting. They met in direct defiance of the law. They broke the law. Now, you can choose to do that, but then you can't complain if you have the consequences of that. For right or for wrong, groups of people are forbidden in Victoria from meeting together. And they knew that, and they deliberately went against that. I believe they tried to get round it by some kind of, you know, claiming care and all and so on. But they deliberately broke the law, and then it got violent, which wasn't really helpful. So I don't think that case really helps our argument against lockdowns overall. We're in lockdown. I am not going to go to my church on Sunday and demand that we meet in the church building. I'm going to accept this. One of those laws I don't like, but I feel obligated to obey. But that is very, very different from a law which commanded me to be vaccinated if I didn't want to be. And I do want to be, and I would encourage others to, but that should be a choice. Or a law which says we can tell you who can and who cannot go to church. At the moment, I don't think the church or the synagogue or indeed the mosque is being discriminated against, because all public meetings are forbidden.
Okay. Thank you so much to that caller from Queensland. 1 800 316 316 to join in our conversation. Let's take another call. Nick is on the line from St. Albans in Victoria. Hello, Nick. Welcome.
Hello, Neil. Good morning. Neil, I'm listening to discussion with other people and their opinion. But I'm in dental business, and if someone come to me and say, look, you have to do this bridge or full upper or full lower this way and that way, I'm going to ask him, are you qualified? You want to teach me? Meaning, these people, those people in a medical section know what they do. They're qualified. They're fully qualified. Lockdown must be, because if one in the world is sick, we have to get this sickness from them. Another thing, in our body, I don't know how medical name for this sickness, some people carrying the disease into themselves and not affect them, but another people, they will affect. Lockdown is the best thing. Even people comply, and in Melbourne I saw demonstration and stuff like that. Government know what they're doing, and what they're doing is the best thing for everyone, because...
Nick, you're making a good point here, and it comes around this issue of locking down for safety issues. David, a quick response here for Nick.
Okay, as quick as I can be. Nick's right about medicals and scientists, which is why no government, no health board had any plan whatsoever for lockdowns for dealing with... plagues and so on. This is a completely new thing. It's not supported by any medical evidence, and medical people disagree with one another. So that's very, very, very important. You have countries like Sweden who largely didn't lock down, and countries like the Czech Republic who locked down very, very strongly, as did Peru, and have ended up with massively high things. So lockdowns are more about politics and medicine. But I do agree with you that people are trying to do their best. The other thing, of course, that you have to take into account is COVID is not the only illness in the world. You know, we hear that, I think today it was 9 people have died with COVID, not necessarily because of it, but they've died with it. COVID is obviously a very serious illness. But 9 people didn't die in New South Wales today. 150 people died in New South Wales today. 150 people around that number die every single day in New South Wales. Human beings die. Governments cannot prevent death. We could lock down the whole system. For example, there are thousands of people who die in car accidents every year. We could save their lives by reducing the speed limit to 5 kilometers per hour, but nobody's going to do that. There are thousands of people who die because of alcohol abuse. We could ban alcohol. And again, the same thing. So it's really the question of getting a balance involved there. And as for health experts, it depends which ones you cite. I have loads of evidence from health experts about lockdowns and vaccines and everything else. And some of them, there's a general consensus on some things. But for example, there is no peer-reviewed study which shows that the face masks that most of us wear actually prevent transmission. There isn't one. It's guesswork and argument. And so it depends which medical expert you want to listen to.
Nick in St. Albans, thank you so much for your call. Let's continue to take some calls. Shannon is on the line from WA. Hello, Shannon. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Shannon, what are your thoughts?
A couple of quick points. So one is, in the Bible, God says to us to do not give up meeting together. So that's a command from God. We know that Jesus came near to and touched the lepers, you know, so he wasn't into segregation. Jesus is never into segregation, ever, in the Bible. And my concern is that we are getting to a point now where we're obeying God more so, obeying the government more so over God's commands, and that's a real risk. In Australia, we're very much she'll be right and spoon-fed by the government telling us what to do instead of actually standing up for what the Bible says. And I just think we need to have a personal responsibility for our own health rather than controlling everyone. And it's really time for the church to stand up and actually put our money where our mouth is, so to speak.
Good thought, Shannon. David, your response?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think the Hebrews verse is really to Christians who've lost the desire to meet together. And I'm not convinced it's directly applicable to this situation. But I do think the wider issue that Shannon raises is hugely, hugely important. And I also think we need to be treated like adults, not children. You know, the government sometimes treats us like children. And again, I go back to Sweden. Sweden didn't implement really, really strict rules because they expected, they gave people guidelines saying they expected people to follow them. And in general, they did. And I think the trouble is when you do everything by diktat and when a government treats its population like children, you end up with either a very immature society or you end up with people rebelling against it. I think from a Christian perspective, we want to encourage people to be responsible, to be compassionate, you know, to do the best that we can to avoid the spread of disease, but also to take into account wider factors, including the spiritual needs of people. I think, for example, my mother is in her late 80s. The notion that her grandchildren should not be allowed to visit her is absolutely wicked. It's just wicked. And she says to me, I'm going to die very soon. I don't want to spend the rest of my last years of life locked in a home where I can't even see my own children and grandchildren. And she said, you know, that's my choice. Why can't I have my choice? It's so funny, isn't it? We live in this society where people say, my body, my choice. And all
are you with
all
us,
of us, it is.
Yep. Okay, thank you so much to Shannon, and let's take a quick call or two before we just wrap things up together. Chad is in Kalbarri in WA. Hello, Chad, welcome.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. Chad, what are your thoughts?
Look, let's just get down to the first point, really. Like, I'd like to think, now I'm not vaccinated, I don't know if I will be, but I'd like to think that if I got COVID and I was sick and I was lying in bed at home and it was meant to be a lockdown, yep, and I thought I was going to die, I'd like to think that I could crawl to the closest church where there's people there that believe in something stronger than myself and that you guys would pull me in and heal me. You know, in a way that, and the very thought that anybody should be even be thinking about that point in someone's life when they go to church for that, to send them away for any reason, you know, that's pretty sad.
Chad, you're making a good point there. Let's get a thought from David.
Yeah, just very quickly, if you're sick and with COVID and all the rest of it, you don't need to go to a church building. Call the church to come to you. Let people come to you and pray with you and so on. But I personally, if I was sick, I wouldn't be going out near anyone.
Okay. Chad, thank you so much for your call. Let's take one more quick call. Chris is in Melbourne. Hi, Chris.
G'day, Neil and guest. Yeah. You said the Jewish people were wrong to meet because the law is there and you pay the consequences. But you're now talking about you know, this vaccine passports and force them to take a vaccine. So what happens if they pass a law? Are you going to break it? You know, it's the same as, you know, as a church, God says, do not forsake the gathering. So what if they make, taking the vaccine law, what if they make vaccine passports a law? What are you going to do then?
If it becomes the law. David, a thought for Chris?
Yeah, sure. Chris has hit the nail on the head in terms of the issue. At what point do you break laws? Now, my view is that when there is a general curfew, if you like, upon people for this vaccine that's not particularly just against the church, but applies everybody, I wouldn't break the law for that. I don't like it, but I wouldn't break it. However, if there was a law that commanded me to do something against the word of God, I wouldn't do it. That is the issue. I don't think the Bible commands us to get a vaccine or not. The Bible does command us to meet together, but if I was in, for example, North Korea, I wouldn't be able to do that. If I was in some Islamic countries, I wouldn't be able to do that. I hate to think Australia would go that way, which is why I think we need to protest at this stage rather than when it becomes so authoritarian.
Thank you, Chris, for your call. When the opportunity comes to speak up, make your voice heard. Interesting as we just draw some things together here and talking vaccine passports, mandatory vaccines, and the way churches might respond if you're under a general rule that says only the vaccinated can meet and the unvaccinated can't. There's an interesting balance here, finding a balance between competing interests, honouring God first, health concerns, and your good citizenship. David, this is something that every single church, every single person listening to our conversation today is going to have to go through this sort of balancing act. What are your thoughts for how you might take some steps to just understand these things more deeply?
Well, do you know this? When you talk about balancing act, I'll give you a little word of testimony, which I think may help people. I was getting pretty depressed listening to, you know, Gladys at 11 o'clock every, you know, more figures, more numbers, more rules. And I realized I was getting caught all up in it. And, you know, and God bless Gladys and all our leaders for doing what they're trying to do. But I just thought, I need to be going back to the Word of God. I don't need to be listening to conspiracy theories. I don't need to think I can sort out the world. I don't need to think I know everything. And so what I started doing was, and because I'm a Bible teacher, I also started sharing this with people. I went back to the book of Job, and I looked at what that book has to say about suffering, all the things we associate with COVID. And I've been doing that at 11 o'clock every single day, and I've just found it enormously beneficial. I put it on YouTube, actually, as well, and on my blog, and I just found it really helpful to go to the Word of God. So that's the first thing I would say. I'd say go to the Word of God and pray. Get things in a biblical and eternal perspective and look to Christ. And then I think the other things, yes, be informed about them, but I would suggest a certain degree of humility and a certain degree of we don't know, but also an understanding of what is crucial, what is vital, what is most important. And to stand for what is most important and to let the secondary issues, don't let them divide us as Christians, but let them, let us disagree perhaps graciously and let's be humble and compassionate to one another.
And just very quickly, because we're talking about local churches here and not every local church will understand and present these sorts of ideas in a way that will be acceptable to everyone, how do you suggest you respectfully make a contribution into your local church's position on these sorts of things?
Well, I think you need to let your pastor or pastors know where you're at and the questions that you have. I think it is good to be informed from a variety of sources, not just the same ones and not just social media. I do think, by the way, Neil, that programs like yours are extremely helpful in that regard. I think it's important to pray and important to serve. And I think it's important to, we talked about this with an earlier caller, to overcome the spirit of fear. So, you know, there are people who are afraid we're about to be taken over by, you know, an authoritarian government. There are people who are afraid that we're about to all die from disease. There are all different kinds of fears. And I would just say we take our cares and burdens and we cast them on the Lord. So our aim should be still to support our churches. I hope church, my job is an evangelist, and I hope churches have not forgotten evangelism at this time of crisis. I think now is actually a great opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, especially when we're faced with so much bad news.
Wonderful insights today, David Robertson. I mentioned in the introduction, you are director of the Ask Project. Perhaps just a quick thought for listeners on what the Ask Project is. Some listeners will know you had a tremendous insight that you offered with the City Bible Forum and the Third Space. What's this latest one, the Ask Project?
It just simply comes from this: ask and you will find, seek, you know, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. And I think we live in a world where we need to encourage people to ask. We ourselves have lots of questions to ask. So what I do is I work with churches, I create little short videos for where their congregations, when they're online, they want to ask a question. I go out with people and when we were allowed to, cafe or pub evangelism, but basically encouraging people, encouraging non-Christians to ask questions and encourage the questions they want to, and to encourage Christians to ask good questions to their non-Christian friends. And ultimately, it's all about us asking Jesus to come into our lives and asking Jesus to heal us. And, you know, I do the prayer notes, for example, for the Christians United in Prayer, where we do the COVID stuff every single week. And I pray every day, Lord, take this plague from our land. So it's asking God, it's asking about God, it's asking one another. It's just this openness. It's the same as Third Space in the sense of City Bible Forum continue that. I help them with that. But this is more directly involved with the churches. So if any listeners listening and they think their church might be interested, just get in touch with me.
And is there a special website for the Ask Project?
Yeah.
Or we can just Google the Ask.
Says he. Yeah.
Yep. So,
well, the simplest thing for me to do is I'm working for Evangelism and New Churches, which is the Sydney Anglican Diocese. Church planting and evangelism. So I work for them, and on their website we have an ask page. My own blog it's easy enough for people to get to. The website is www.newchurches, that's just all one word, .org.au.
Okay, not always easy to remember your own addresses here. So newchurches.org.au for the Ask Project. David Robertson, thank you so much for taking some time to share your thoughts and your heart with us today on 2020.
My pleasure.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.